Ladies and gentlemen, and here's Modi.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. No, everybody, adjust your hearing aids. Get your water open, your candies unwrapped. Here's a few more coming in. Shalom Aleichem, how are ya? That's it. Now, good. Thank you. Thank you very much. All righty. Hi, everybody okay? Thank you all for being here. I can't believe it's the 100th episode of And Here's Modi, being at the 92nd Street Y. Our 100th episode, that was the worst crotching through the... No effort at all she gave to bend down and go through. Nothing. It's our 100th episode, and it's also the 150th year that the 92nd Street Y is doing this. So... For us, this is an absolute honor and a privilege to be here and to see Periel dressed like this. She has been showing up for 100 episodes in Schmattes. Schmattes, no, all vintage. Every shirt, $500, $800, shoes that she finds, I don't know in what sewer, but this is $900, like Prada from vintage. And today, look at her. She looks like... She looks like she's going to either get an Oscar or she's the bar mitzvah boy's mom.
Or both.
Or both, both. How much fun is this?
Did you think we would make it to 100 when we started?
No, I did not. We began in some little vinkle, some small studio, and then we bursted out, and then we got it, and then Leo got involved, and it was just, I'm so happy. It's such a Mashiach energy.
Not yet.
Not yet, but we'll talk about that too.
We can't get through one episode without Mashiach energy.
That's right.
But the reason we're here...
Yes.
...is to talk about the transformative power of laughter.
Yeah. No. Laughter is... especially what's happening in the world now. We're going to address exactly what is happening in the world. In October 7th, Leo and I were in Israel, right when the war began. A week before, we had shows. We had a tour through Israel in theaters that were breathtaking. I didn't even know Israel had these theaters. Sold out shows, half the room Anglos, Americans that moved there, and then the other half Israelis all coming together. I was on a high that I'd never been. We had Friday night. We were staying at the Satai Hotel in Yafo with the Nakash family, which is a Syrian word that means breakfast is included. We went to bed that night after literally up to 3 in the morning laughing and having just a great time. And then 6:30 in the morning, we heard the first alarm. And my first time being in Israel hearing an alarm. And Leo and I woke up, and he said, "What do we do?" I said, "My Xanax is just kicking in right now, so I'm staying right here. I think the option is to go in the hallway or something," but we went back to bed. We went to breakfast, found out what's really happening in the world, and then we were in it. At 12:30 in the afternoon, we saw from our hotel room that they took Bruno Mars, who was staying at the hotel, because he had 3 concerts in Israel. At 12:30, they took him out of the hotel and whisked him over to a private airplane to be flown out of Israel. I turned to my husband, Leo, and said, "Thank God they got Bruno Mars out of here." And he says, "Why?" I said, "Because if a bomb hits this hotel and Bruno Mars and I both die, I would get zero press." They wouldn't even mention me. We were scheduled and on a flight to Paris. I had 4 shows in Paris the next week, and the last plane that left, 4-hour delay, sitting on the runway, hearing sirens, our kishkas were just, and we got to Paris,
Wait, what did you say to Leo? Didn't you say to Leo at one point, if they take us off the plane and what? We have to go back to my cousin?
Oh, it was an option to go back to my cousin's house and not stay on the plane. But I was like, I'm not taking the seatbelt off. People were like, there's sirens going off. Should we go in the... I said, shut up and just... We're taking off. And Hashem, God took us off and we brought us to Paris because we had to do work in Paris. We had to... It was the first time I was doing shows in Paris, and to do shows for an audience, this is a Monday after the Saturday, in an audience that is on their phone watching what is unfolding. Keep in mind, the first week we didn't really have a grasp of what was happening. And the audience would just be on their phones. The lights would go down. They'd put their phones down. And then, and here's Modi. And which is the name of the podcast.
Right. And you're used to that, though, right?
I am used to that. The reason we named the podcast And Here's Modi is because it was your idea.
It was. I like the two little apostrophes because it was like in Hebrew.
In
biblical Hebrew they have.
Right. A lot of my career in the beginning was performing at galas and fundraisers for all kinds of horrendous events or
charities.
Or charities or just horrendous Jews sometimes. They just were putting together fundraisers, and I would always follow a movie. They'd show somebody with diabetes. And I lost my sight, they took my toes off, they did the machine in my pancreas, and here's Modi.
Wait, do you have like, what's like a really crazy one though?
The crazy And Here's Modi story I have is I once was hired to perform in Old Westbury in a house. It was in somebody's house. They had 150 people. They set up the living room like it was a theater. And I walked into this house. It was for, I think it actually was for juvenile diabetes or something. I don't know what the fundraiser was for. I don't remember. And I walked in, and as slowly I walked into the house, I saw there was a Jewish star from the war framed. I figured maybe it was his grandmother's. They framed it. Then there was like a Torah, a Sefer Torah that was encased, and it said from the ghetto of Warsaw, whatever ghetto it came that they saved this Torah from. And then some more Holocaust kind of memorabilia. I'm like, okay. That's this guy's stuff. That's what he does. I looked to the left. They had all the food. Big, big buffet. People were eating. They're getting their food. And I said, can I do a sound check and see where the show is going to be? The show was in his living room where he had commissioned an artist to build a statue of the Holocaust, which was 8 foot tall and 9 feet long. And it was hands and barbed wire and flames and children, and the microphone was right in front. People were walking into the room, like they all had their food, and they'd walk into the room, and like they made the co-chair or whoever spoke before me told thank you for donating, and there's envelopes, and it's important to raise money for this, and here's
Modi.
And now I'm holding the mic in front of like literally a hand with flames and barbed wire. And I just so, good evening. It's great being here in Majdanek. If things work out well, I'll be in Treblinka next week. I'm sorry I'm late. The trains were a little off. You have to address what's the situation. You can't just start, hey, good to be here, everybody, with that behind you. When I told you that story is when you said, that's the name of the podcast, And Here's Modi.
And then also, I was also interested in that you picked the word Treblinka, like you didn't say Auschwitz, or...
When you do comedy, you want to avoid, when you do comedy and you talk about the Holocaust, you don't want to hit them with words like Auschwitz. It's too strong. So in my bits, when I talk about some, I usually refer to it as World War II. People's minds right away go into it. And Treblinka and Majdanek are little. It's important to change these words because it's
the specificity of language.
Specificity of language. But I will take this opportunity to talk to you and tell you that it's very important to make jokes and within it bring in the Holocaust.
That's actually an interesting thing, though, because, well, there was recently Larry David got into a lot of trouble for making jokes about the Holocaust.
I think it's so important, too. I just watched Louis C.K.'s special, and he had a whole thing about Auschwitz. He was in Madison Square Garden, probably 30 or 50,000 people, and it's airing, and you can watch it, and he has a whole thing about Auschwitz and how someone made a joke, and someone from Auschwitz Twitter said, "That's not funny." And he gets it definitely Auschwitz Twitter because it has the little blue symbol. Do you know how important that is that he's saying that? Because how many people in the audience have never heard of the word Auschwitz? And how many people, they have no idea what that means, and they Google it or they ask their friends, "What's Auschwitz?" And they maybe deep dive into it on the internet. It is so important to keep mentioning the Holocaust. That's just... that's in my opinion, and I know survivors, and they agree with me.
You had...
Sequence.
Sequence. Listen.
What made you go with sequence?
It's a nod to Joan Rivers.
I was dying. I thought she had another outfit. That's what you're going to hit. What you came to town hall with, I thought that's what you're going to wear. But this, I love this.
Joan.
Yeah. It's Joan.
Joan Rivers.
It's very Joan Rivers, yes.
Okay, listen, you're throwing me off track here. My job is to keep you on track.
Yes, so do it.
Okay, so the New York Times referred to you as the Jackie Mason of our time. And yeah. I like that, but I read something more recently that said that you are the last of the Catskill comics.
Yes. Yes, I am the last of the Catskill comics. They've all died.
But most comics got started in like comedy clubs and schlepping from this town to that town. And
I was my is it trajectory? Is that
trajectory? That's
is
right.
Is that the word?
That's good. Trajectory.
Thank you. I got a zero on my SATs, so just I began doing comedy in New York City at the comedy clubs, and I'm going to take this moment to tell you how that began. I was working for Merrill Lynch in the international banking division. My best friend, one of my closest friends in the world, who's in the audience, clap your hands, Donnie, where are you? There he is, Donnie Moss, lived in my building. We met at a gay bar that was around the corner. And we right away clicked to each other. He's a Miami Jewish guy. I'm from New York. And we just became best friends immediately. And I used to do all these imitations of the secretaries I worked with. And Donnie said, "Do it on stage." I said, "What stage?" He said, "A comedy club." I go, "What comedy?" And I've never been to a comedy club. At that point, this is 1992, 3. Only seen comedians on HBO specials. I've never been to a comedy club. He said, no, you do this in a comedy club. And he arranged everything. He called the comedy club. You had to bring 5 people in. I forgot whatever the rules were. And he made that happen for me. Donnie Moss, in the audience tonight, made that, like, put that... And the first night I hit the stage, I go, "Oh, this is good. This is fun." All the other comics bombed hard. I was dressed like this with a tie. I came from work. I went on stage. I did the imitations. And the owner of the club loved it and said, "You should keep doing this." And Donnie helped me. And
What was one of the imitations?
Oh, there's nothing for my act I could have done today. There's not a... Are those pledges for the... are those the Kol Nidre pledges? What is... Epstein family, 32,000. She's holding cards like... You've never been to a synagogue when they collect the money, do they?
No, you know? I usually hang out outside.
Yeah, they do that, you know. Abramowitz family, 1800. Rosenstein family, 1300. And then you'll get the anonymous. And then someone yells out, Lefkowitz lighting and plumbing supplies, 300 anonymous. This is when you do a comedian doing this. You can't have people walking down because we get distracted right away.
I think they're doing questions.
What? Oh, she's getting the questions. Yeah. Okay, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you wore a suit.
So I was doing, that's how I began doing comedy. I was at the comedy clubs in New York City, thanks to Donnie Moss.
And then somebody saw you perform who was like a secretary. I don't know if you're allowed to say secretary anymore.
I don't know. Assistant Managing Director of Marketing
that's
Branding.
Right,
I don't know the names they have today for the jobs.
Executive. All right,
oh
whatever.
My God.
And they saw you and...
Someone saw me and said, hey, kid, do you want to work the mountains? I said, call me Moses. They brought me to a place called the Concord Hotel. Now, I'd never been to the Catskills. I'll give you an inside story. When we moved to America, my parents were finding out what's going to be our thing. And someone said to my mother, let's go to the Catskills. We went to Kutcher's. I remember this. It's the first time I saw Buddy Hackett. We got there on a Friday. The food made my parents so nauseous. We left on Saturday. See, my mom said, this is not what we're doing. We don't do this. Skiing became our thing. Skiing. So now all of a sudden I show up at this Catskill at the Concord Hotel. Now, I don't know if you've seen what that looked like back in the 90s. I walk and I go, wow, you guys built an entire resort in a 70s motif. Where'd you get the 70s furniture? He said, from the 70s. Then they gave me a room. You have no idea what these rooms looked like. I called the manager. I go, hey, I got a leak in the sink. He said, go ahead. It was so gross. But they had three hotels that were left. The Neverly, Kutcher's. Concord was the last that I performed, the last weekend of the Concord. And there were two other hotels, I think. And I kept driving up every weekend. They gave me gigs. They gave me spots. And to be in a New York City club doing a 10-minute spot, all of a sudden you're wearing a tuxedo in front of 1,000 to 1,300 people.
All
with
Jews?
A band. With a band. Jews, yeah. Jews. Jews, they were full. They just came from a meal. Go wake that up. Go wake up.
Do you like performing for all Jews, though?
I'm so blessed. There's nothing like a Jewish audience. There's nothing like a Jew. Either way, if they go with you, if they hate you, they've never hated me. But
wait, an older woman in Florida said something really funny to you once after the show.
Oh, Jewish audience will always let you know what they're thinking. I did a show. It was in South Florida, and the average age was deceased. But they were adorable, and they laughed hard. They were hard laughers. And this woman comes over to me. She was verpitzt. She looked okay. She had the Chanel with the... No, like she did her hair that day. She had the Chanel, she had the earrings that matched the necklace, that matched the bracelet, and she had a walker, but a nice walker. Her kids took care of her. They didn't give her with the tennis balls. The handles. She comes up to me and she says to me, excuse me, I don't know if you were funny or not because I forgot my hearing aids. But I will tell you, you're pleasant to look at. Which I will take any day of the week. Any day of the week.
What other kind of Jews do you perform for?
I perform
not
for...
Not just old, dead Jews.
No, they're not dead. They're amazing. By the way, South Florida shows are the best. That Boca Boynton, you're sitting in front of 2,000 Jews. They get there at five. They're in their chairs. They're excited. The show's over. They get the hell out. It's an honor to perform for them. Not only that, they've heard the best. Don't forget, they've heard the top comedians, you know, which I got to experience. I got to experience Catskill Comics because I was working up there, and just to watch these amazing comedians that no one even kind of heard about anymore because they weren't televised comics. I got to watch a performance, not just a comedy set, like, you know, and so to perform for those people and they like you, you know you're doing something right. Yeah. And like I said, I'm very privileged to see every type of Jewish community. There is not a Jewish community I have not been to. Recently, I've performed in, since the war, I've been in Berlin, Frankfurt, Dusseldorf, Vienna, Brussels, Amsterdam, Paris, but I call it my reparations tour. But to be in front of a community that used to be 250,000 people and now it's 8,000 and 1,000 show up at the show, more than 10% of the Jewish community shows up at your show, you feel honored. You feel blessed. You feel like you're doing the right thing, you know, and
you also performed recently at the Republican Jewish Convention.
Yes.
The Jewish Republican.
It's the Republican Jewish Convention. And I performed for them because they called. And they had a check. And they had 1,000 people in the audience. And they were amazing. If the Democrats would call, I would go there as well. Who are you kidding? They just called and they were fun and they were great. And I followed Donald Trump. It was the most insane, one of the most incredible. Imagine, they're going from Meshuggah to Meshuggahs. It was... RuPaul, who I love, always says, pay them no attention unless they're paying your bills. Mm. And so, yes, the Republicans called. I did a show for them. Yeah.
And people probably say crazy things in your ear after the shows. They, like, sidle up to you and all the meet and greets. Because after all the shows, don't you also do meet and greets?
We do meet and greets. That is a very special thing. We do a show. We have 2,000 people in the audience, maybe 200 sometimes buy tickets to take a picture. So we usually line them from that section. They come, take a picture, and then go off on the other side. And the things they whisper in my ear, you can't even imagine. It's the craziest thing.
Like what?
It's a shame you're gay. I would have married you. And then smile. There's one woman, she recently had her breasts done, so she sticks my arm in between them, whispers in my ear, my father's a Holocaust survivor, my mother has stage 4 cancer, my sister can't get married because she has a hoiker. Smile. Literally, that kind of stuff happens. And what's really great is that Leo is always there, my husband is always there, taking the picture. So he gets to hear all of this. But he gets to hear, and we should bring him on. He gets to hear people telling me, your videos have saved me. Your videos got me through COVID. And all those videos are from Leo. I see a red light, I go on. And we should introduce, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on, and when we began the podcast, it was just us, and Leo was directing, and then we realized that he's more entertaining than both of us. So I'd like to invite our other co-host of the podcast, Leo Vega.
Hi, everyone. Wow, we did it.
We did it.
We did it. Hi. Hi, Peter.
Hey, everybody, Leo Vega, my husband. My husband.
I have written in my notes here, Leo comes out.
We did that a long time ago, honey.
Yes.
Okay, it's the perfect time for you to come out because I said in the beginning that we can't get through an episode without Modi talking about Mashiach energy.
I people, of course, that was the number one question we got. One of the number one questions we got was, what's Mashiach energy? And this is it. This is it. This
Aww.
Is, yeah, this is Mashiach energy that came into my life. Mashiach energy is something I realized. Mashiach is, those of you who don't know, the Messiah. Mashiach, that's what the Jews are waiting for. That's, don't ever forget that. As a Jew, whatever your goal is, whatever you think the goal is, at the end of it is Mashiach. When you, if you go to synagogue once a year or every hour, that's the prayer. The prayer is for Mashiach to come and for the world to live in harmony and to see some kind of togetherness and unity. And I began to understand and see Mashiach energy after COVID. During COVID, Leo and I were in the apartment together and we were doing Zoom shows. He was arranging, producing Zoom shows all over the world. That's how we built the fan base. Because of Leo, I went from 7,000 followers to over 250,000 followers on Instagram. Yes, that's a it's a feat.
I just posted the videos.
No. He made it and
half of doing it is just doing it.
Yeah, but you have to know what you're doing.
Wait.
Abramowitz family, 380.
Wait, but back up for a second.
Wait a minute. They can't walk around
they
with these cards.
They have to walk around.
I can't
We're
focus
collecting
on,
questions.
I know, but I'm on 3 milligrams
You'll
right
be
now.
Fine.
I can't focus on that.
You gotta
You're going to be happy
that.
Later. No, we need
no,
those.
No, but my ADHD right now, you got to be kidding me. All I see is ushers walking with cards everywhere.
Listen, it started before that with the Rebbe.
What? No, Mashiach, I understood what Mashiach was. Because I didn't understand what Mashiach energy was. I knew what Mashiach was. The Chabad Lubavitch movement has cornered that Mashiach. When you say Mashiach, oh, he's Chabad. Could you imagine how amazing that is? That they cornered that that's what they're known for? And I, in college, went to a Chabad house that was on campus, Boston University, and we did trips to go down to visit the Rebbe and get a dollar from the Rebbe. And the
what
Rebbe,
would he say?
The Rebbe, that was so not like casual. You could see you're reading it.
What did he say?
I have a dollar from the Rebbe that I carry around in my backpack.
You have a dollar from the Rebbe too. And the when you went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you went to him, and the first thing he did was give you a dollar. And that's for you to give to somebody else in need. So right away, when two Jews meet, the first thing they should do is think about helping somebody else, right? And then he said to you, bracha v'atzlacha. So right after you help somebody, that's when you get the blessings and success. And it didn't hit me. I was a college kid. I didn't really understand what it was. And then when I started doing shows after COVID and seeing people, first time coming into a theater, seeing other people, and then bursting into laughter, I said, this is Mashiach energy. This is the energy of Mashiach. And it's. And then a lot of other things became clear to me too, which was Anshei Bedichei.
Right, but you said that you've told me that we're always, each and every single one of us is always capable of, in every moment, to either bring Mashiach energy or prevent Mashiach energy.
Yes. You're either creating or you're preventing it. When you walk up the stairs and you let somebody go ahead of you, that's a nice little Mashiach energy you gave there. When you don't yell at the other moms at your school. That's Mashiach energy. When you throw them a smile instead of, are you kidding me? That's Mashiach energy. And just to bring laughter to people, every show I do, especially now since the war began, when you see people just for an hour and 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever I do, just laugh together in unity. And whoever's in the audience, religious, not religious, Sephardic, Ashkenazi, non-Jewish, Jewish, laughing together, it's 100% Mashiach energy. And that's the goal. And believe me, that was what the Rebbe was about. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was about that. Just he was creating Mashiach energy, and it was. I'm so blessed that I've been able to stand in front of him.
You got so popular among the Hasidic community that there was actually a day named after you.
Oh.
What?
What a segue.
Thank you. I'm trying to make up for the last one. That was a little bit more inelegant.
We put together an outline so I don't just mammer and yammer up here. There was a day, so I performed for many very religious communities. Sometimes I perform where there's a wall.
Oy.
A mechitza, and the men are on one side, the women on the other, and the guy, before I go on, says to me in Yiddish, "Kik nisht arayin de oigen from the vaibish shil." Don't look in the eyes of the women's side.
Oh my God.
And I'm standing at the back of the
room. And Leo's in the back, just... Literally.
Literally.
He's produced the entire show. He's helped Gershi and Heshi and everybody put together these shows. So, in 2018, right?
Yes.
In 2018, I get a phone call from the mayor's office that they want to honor me for and make a day after me. Give me a proclamation and name. What's the date?
June 26, 2018. Mark your calendars, ladies and gentlemen.
It happened. It was called Mordechai
Modi Rosenfeld Day.
Mordechai Modi Rosenfeld Day. And everybody asks, how did that happen? So those of you who are in New York, you know, during the summer, the mayor's house is a tent in the back, and every week there's a different heritage honored. So they have the Greek week, they have a Puerto Rican week, they have the Jewish heritage week, they have all these weeks. And that year, for the Greek week, they honored Olivia Dukakis. For the Puerto Rican week...
Hispanic week, I think. It was Ricky Martin.
Did I say it wrong?
I don't know.
You're going to be canceled for this?
No, but because I don't think Ricky Martin is Puerto Rican.
I think it was Puerto Rican.
Okay.
But
correct.
It was Ricky Martin. And for the Jewish, the mayor
needed... And here's
Modi. The mayor needed a Jew. So now how does this work? Those of you who know, have ever been around the mayor always has a little chassid next to him. There's a little Hasidic guy always next to the mayor, and that's his liaison to the entire Hasidic community.
Oh, my God.
So he turned to the mayor, and just like in Purim, in the Megillah of Esther, Yeshno Ish Yehudi Ushmo Mordechai. There's a Jew, and his name is Mordechai. And the mayor goes, what does he do? He's a comedian. He's an actor. He's on The Sopranos. On this, he was on that. And then they were like, okay. And then they do a background check. No, because I'm wondering, there's Jews who donate hospitals and museums. What are they looking for me for? Happened to have been that year I was the only Jew in New York without an indictment. Even a parking ticket I didn't have. And so I got it, and it was amazing. Leo came with me, and who's Leo Vega? I said, that's my boyfriend, my partner.
Partner.
Ugh. And my parents came, and it was that's how Mordechai Modi Rosenfeld Day happened.
That was a special day. It was really cool. And I mean, I don't know how everyone feels about Bill de Blasio, but it was cool that he did that. And it was one of those rare moments that we were aware of how cool the moment was when it was happening. I was like, whoa, you're having a day in New York City named after you. So it was very special.
And just being in the moment right now, we're in the 92nd Street Y at their 150th anniversary, our 100th episode. Just my parents are in the audience. My rabbi's in the audience. My best friends are in the audience. Dina, Donnie, people. I'm so blessed. So, so blessed. And we're not even halfway done. Oh.
We do have a time check.
We're just getting started. So with Leo, I want to tell you, there's a concept in Judaism. And whenever I used to do very religious shows, they would always introduce me with a piece of Gemara from the Talmud. They read out this piece of, ladies and gentlemen, we have a comedian tonight. And
wait, I think we have a picture of it, if we can put it on the screen.
They would always introduce, there it is. This is from the, those of you who are Israeli, you're not going to understand what's happening back then. It's in Aramaic. And they always quote this piece of Talmud before they bring me on. And it says, the story in the Talmud is that there's, in the marketplace, Eliyahu HaNavi was there. Elijah the prophet was there. And two people went over to ask Elijah, who here in the marketplace has chelek be'olam haba, a portion of the world to come? So he pointed at two people, Anshe Bedichai. And they say, plural. they have it. So the guy walks over to them and says to them, I'll get up, I can't read this. He says to them, Mavdichu, what is your work? What do you do? Omar le, anshe bedichei. We are men, we are anshe. That could also be people. Anshe bedichei. Anan mevatchin etzuvei. We make people who are sad happy. Mevatchim levadech etzuvei. Inami, and also, kechazin bitre de'et le, basically. When people are in strife or in quarrel, in a fight, through laughter, we bring peace. Now, they always mention this. I was like, great, I have a portion of the world to come. Here's the show, where's my check? Until I began working with Leo, I didn't realize what this really says. I had no idea what this is. The Talmud never wastes words. So I right away thought, if this is a portion of the Talmud that says that every comedian has a portion in the world to come, it would just be one comedian. Why is it two guys? And then I began to understand, the comic alone can't do it. The comic cannot do it alone. Anshe bedichei, people of laughter, mevatchim atzuve, we make people who are sad happy. I was reaching 7,000 people. When I began to work with Leo, I'm reaching 250,000 people, doing shows in places I've never imagined, in front of 2,000 more people. We have 4,000 people I'm performing in front of. You need the anshe bedichei, somebody with you. You can't do it alone. That's why, and believe it, think about it, in the marketplace, why would two comics be there? If it was in a show, an ofa'ah, then it'd be two comedians. But it's two anshe bedichei. And everybody can be an anshe bedichei. Everybody can be. You know, for the other section of it, where it says we bring peace when there's strife, that is where I realized also what that means. In 2016, I performed at a synagogue in Bucks County. It's a massive synagogue, and the synagogue was split in half. It was just when Donald Trump won the election. Half the synagogue was Trump people. The other half, completely opposite. Brothers in the synagogues wouldn't pray together. They had a minyan downstairs. They made a service downstairs for people who just couldn't stomach the other people. And the first event that they ever had that ever used back together was when I did a show. And they all came and they laughed together and they were able to say hello to each other afterwards. That's when I began to understand the second part of the sentence. During COVID, in Scarsdale Synagogue, you remember this? How could you forget?
He produced it. What do you does he remember?
Scarsdale Synagogue in the height, like it was right when it was okay to start doing shows after COVID.
Okay.
Well, for Jews, it was okay right away. I was doing shows. I was literally doing shows.
We were on it.
We were. I mean, hey, we're having a backyard event. Only 3,000 people. This synagogue was, you could see, ripped in half with the COVID people and the people who've already let go of COVID. They had a whole tent in the back for the people who were, they would sit on top of each other in this tent to think that that's going to be there in COVID. But that was their fight. We want a tent, we want to have a minion outside. And then the younger people were inside with their kids. And somebody in the synagogue said to the rabbi, whatever it takes to bring Modi in, I want him for Purim. And that Purim, I did a show, and for the first time, the people from the outside came in, and the people that were inside came together, and we all laughed. And the guy that said to the rabbi, whatever it takes to bring Modi in, anshe bedichei. He made a comedy show happen. And that's what piece of Talmud teaches me. Everybody can be an anshe bedichei. You see tickets to a show, buy six right away. Buy six right away. No, I'm not.
You can always
just
resell them at this point.
Yes. By the way, modilive.com. You see tickets to a show, buy six. Pete, you'll find someone to bring, and it's going to always be someone that needed that laugh. That's you. You became anshe bedichei, and Leo is my Anshe Bedikhe, my soulmate, my partner, my Anshe Bedikhe. Yes.
Thank you. Periel, I would also like to thank you and thank Guy and Ari for letting us borrow her for 100 episodes.
Episodes, yes.
Because she is also very much Anshe Bedikhe.
I didn't get to her yet.
Listen, let's get to the part that everybody really wants to know and the question that everybody asks me.
No.
Which is, how did you guys meet?
We met on the 6 train. And people ask me,
yes,
did you know who he was when you met him?
I wasn't who I was when I met him. He helped make me what I was, what I am.
I just thought he was hot.
Which is
a good starting point.
Well, it's a very good start. We met on the subway on
Downtown 6 train.
Downtown 6 from 42nd to, I think it was the Astor Place. So I had to get off and he followed me. It was a hard cruise. We were, you know, holding there looking
for each
other.
Fortune favors the bold.
Like that. What?
Fortune favors the bold.
Yes. Fortune favors the
bold. Fortune favors the bold is amazing.
Okay.
That's a phrase. I didn't just
make
that up.
I didn't know this phrase. I thought turkey. You go for turkey for the bald. You get
the
your
bold.
Hip turned. Bald. All right. I'm kidding with you. We were on the subway. We met each other. He came off, asked me. He said we were looking at each other. I said, yes, we were. And he gave me his number. I said, do you want to go on a date? I picked him up.
He said, do you want to go to a comedy show?
Yes. I picked him up in my smart car. I had a smart car back then.
And I went with it, to my credit.
Yes.
We no longer have a smart car.
That was a red flag.
Excuse me, that car was adorable.
That was something we worked on together.
Yes. I'm now in a fat GLE 450.
Baruch Hashem.
When Leo said, enough of this. I picked him up and I brought him to the Comedy Cellar. And I sat him...
The iconic Comedy Cellar.
I sat him where the comics sit. And... I sat next to him and watching this comedian, and then they said, ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Modi. And I said, I'll be right back. And I went on stage. And that was...
Which I guess was a very suave way of you being like, this is what you're getting into.
And we had another date, another comedy club, and then you moved in. That was 9 years ago.
Did you know that he wasn't Jewish immediately?
Are you kidding? No, but he's
I was going to say something, but I'm not.
Well, I mean, he's so Jewish now. He's so...
I'm not Dina, not Jewish.
Dina, my friend Dina, gave him the David Yurman star. She christened him as Jewish. He's been to the Keresztér Rebbe's grave in Hungary, which is... amazing. That's also a part of all the blessings we have. You know, you pray to God, you ask for things, so he brings you to the grave of amazing rabbis. No, how was that? You were at the grave of one of the biggest rabbis in the world.
It was very intense.
We were there with the Rebbe's Einoklach, his great-grandson, and he was there with his great-grandson. And the year after that, it was a year of blessings I couldn't even imagine, right?
Yep.
And then I said, we're going right back. The next year, we went right back again and it's just been blessings and blessings. Those of you living in New York, you should always go visit the grave of the Rebbe. It's right here. It's in Queens. It's two different experiences, by the way. When you go visit the Rebbe in Queens and to visit the Keresztér Rebbe in the border of Ukraine and Hungary. Over there, the difference is this. You visit the Rebbe in the Reb Shaila. You sit in there. You feel like you're in a sukkah. When you're sitting in a sukkah, you're sitting in a mitzvah, right? And you feel it. You're surrounded by the mitzvah. When you're sitting in Keresztér, you're surrounded by the blessing. You feel the blessings you're about to receive. When you go to the Rebbe in Queens, in the Lubavitch Rebbe, the Ohel, you come out of there, you're like, wow, I got to pull it together and start working a lot harder. It's two different feelings, yeah? I go off the topic. I was hoping that one of the ushers would come down with the cards again. No.
Okay, so you knew he wasn't Jewish when you met him.
Yes.
That was the long answer to that question.
Yeah.
But he went with it. He went with Leo.
Leo grew up really buckled up.
I was
he
like, all
buckled
right.
up. He came from this Meshuggah Catholic family.
Yeah.
And he stopped being Catholic. Now he's just Sephardic. And he just stopped being Catholic. I don't know. Those of you who don't know, you know how you stop being Catholic? You just stop going to church. Imagine this in the Jewish religion. There'd be four Jews. We'd all stop being Jewish after our bar mitzvah.
But the thing that's amazing is that before Leo even met you, you said that there were three things you were looking for.
Yeah. So I had just gotten out of a different relationship, and I was driving in the car, and I was speaking out loud. Well, I was singing, and then I spoke out loud, which is not something I normally do. And I said, if I'm going to be in another relationship, I want three things. And I said, I want them to be funny, I want them to be spiritual, and I want them to be culturally different from me in a way that I can learn from. And a month later,
Mashiach energy. Be careful what you wish for. You got it.
And what did your parents say?
My mother loves Leo.
My mother.
My mother does not feel like she lost a son. She gained a grandchild. The first time Leo came to my mother's house, we're in Long Island, and my mom has a picture of me on the fridge, my graduation picture from Boston University. Leo sees it and goes to take a picture of it. My mom sees it and goes, that's when he was your age.
What else do you have, Periel?
What else?
I have thank yous.
Thank yous.
I have thank yous.
Yes. Thank yous first to Hashem, God, unity. And to me, God is from Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Not that there's one God judging everybody. It's oneness is God. This room right now is God, and it's Mashiach energy. I swear to you. So I thank Hashem right away. And
you didn't know you were coming to a Dvar Torah tonight. Am I good? I'm good. That was good.
Wait.
People don't know I'm the funny one.
I'm the good looking one. He's the funny one.
Everyone comes up to me after the show and they go, you just must be laughing all day long. And I go, no. I'm making you laugh.
He's punching up my jokes. Some of my hugest laughs, my punchlines, are from Leo. He just throws me these punchlines. Yes, recently you
give me a lot of credit.
You deserve a lot of credit. But I want to also thank, because this is our podcast.
This is our podcast.
When we first started doing a podcast, and we were paying it for our own pocket. We were great. This is no problem. And then I said, I don't want a sponsor that's too Jewish. And then we get a call from A&H Provisions. It's
Seth, are you in the room tonight?
Seth, are you here?
Thank you, Seth.
There is Seth from A&H Provision. Contacts us. He goes, I love the podcast. Love what you guys are doing. I want to be a part of it. We meet with him. He loves the whole energy. He goes, this is it. A&H. And he goes, one condition. You have to come visit the factory. He's so proud of the factory and how amazing it is in the store. I said, one condition. I'm never going to your factory. But we invite anybody to listen to our podcast. If ever you want, call Seth Direct at A&H and go look at it's in New Jersey somewhere. I'm not going to New Jersey unless it's a check and a microphone waiting for me there. That's the only way I go to New Jersey.
Be nice to Seth.
And Seth has been a part of our family. He's been Anshe Bedichah with us, helping us make people happy and relieve sadness and bring this podcast became gay-ish. We've helped people who are Orthodox gay people feel welcome in the Orthodox world, in the Jewish world. It helped people who were Sephardic and Ashkenazi come together through the podcast. So we have to thank Seth, and we have to thank Whites and Luxembourg. Wait.
So Arthur Luxembourg, who's one of your very dear friends.
Best friend. Amazing. Arthur Luxembourg. Okay, so Whites and Luxembourg sponsors our podcast. And what was the approved? It's the law firm that does well, but also does good. They're very philanthropic.
Very philanthropic.
If you ever sit with Arthur Luxembourg, the first two words are, what can I do to help? Whatever you tell him is going on, whatever charities, what can I do to help?
So I've been trying to get Arthur on the podcast for 100 episodes. And we finally had him on a couple of episodes ago.
99 and 99.5 he was on. And Arthur and I are, it's very rare you find a close friend later on in life. And Arthur and I became very close friends. And he's a little bit older than me. It's like having an older brother that knows everything and knows everyone.
And is very chic.
And chic. He's just chic. And it's just fun to hang with him. And it's an easy hang, too. I'm hungry. Where are you? Da-da-da, Second Avenue Deli. We're there. That's it. And we're there. We hang and we always laugh. And he and I came on the podcast and we talked about being stutterers. We both stutter. I can't explain to you how hard it is to, I'm focusing here, it's so you don't see it that much, or maybe you do see it, but we're both stutterers, and we did two episodes.
Yeah.
And we spoke about being stutterers, and I cannot even explain to you how many parents of kids who stutter reached out to us, thanking us for bringing this up, that you have a comic that they all adore that stutters, and you have a trial lawyer, a name partner of a law firm.
Name brand.
Arthur Luxembourg stutters, and they're seeing this, and they're seeing them on a podcast getting through it, and it's definitely in the next 100 episodes we're going to be addressing the stuttering situation a lot more, and bringing some awareness and some Mashiach energy into that. Yeah.
And we're also going to thank Art and Flowers for our beautiful flowers.
Yeah, look at these.
Give a kick. Look at these flowers.
She reached out. She was like, do you need flowers? I thought it was going to be like a little...
Mashiach energy. When we travel, we never like make plans.
Nope.
We never make plans. We show up. Leo says, hey, where are we on the thing? We're in Venice, Italy. Bing. Done. Emails, DMs come in. Hi, what can we do for you? What can I do? Come this, dinner here, dinner there, Dianali, Biennale, Schmiennale. we boom, and things happen. We said that we're doing a 100th episode. What's the name of the flower company?
Art in Flowers.
Art in Flowers says, can we send you flowers? I said, Gesunte Hate. And look at what they sent. I feel like we're in synagogue on the high holidays.
The flowers are sponsored
by the Moskowitz family in honor of their daughter's engagement to Harry. Doesn't it look like the flowers from in synagogue? Who else do you have to thank? Are we good with the thanks?
We're good with the thanks.
We'd like to thank the 92nd Street Y again.
We have to thank the
92nd Street. I've been
and
the
Ellie.
Whole night.
Ellie.
Ellie is our producer who's been amazing.
One of the most amazing things in my life is I
don't have to answer an email.
Do you know what he said to me backstage? Do you know what he said to me backstage?
What?
He goes, he's looking at his phone and he goes, oh my God, these emails, all these emails come in. He goes, oh, this is horrible. You write back and you get one back.
I asked him if he wanted me to take those notifications off because he doesn't do anything with them.
I follow all the emails we get. I don't answer any of them. I don't touch it because I don't want to make a mistake on any of them. But for these three tuchuses to sit in this chair...
I would say 150.
150 emails had to go back and forth.
We did. It was at least 150.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And that's Anshe Bedicha. That's the work that the comic can't do. And you fill seats in the emails, and it's unbelievable. And it's so we want to thank Ellie.
Ellie.
She's from the 92nd Street Y. She helped produce this. She was just a shining light. In this, how much fun was she to be with and work with? And again, 92nd Street Y, thank you very, very much.
And we also, as Snoop Dogg has said, we want to thank ourselves.
Yes.
Look at us. We did it.
We did it. 100th episode.
I want to thank me.
Thank you. Thank the fans.
We sold this show in a few days.
There's a waiting list of 400 seats.
Yeah.
And
there
we're
are people
so
on
happy.
Live stream, too.
Yeah,
hello
to the live streaming. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I have to thank Ari, my son.
His son. Yes.
And my husband, Guy, and my parents are here.
Your parents are here. My parents are here too. My parents, my mother's here. It's my parent, my father, my mother. It's to have them alive and see them. She was when she saw the sign. She came into the Did you see in the lobby?
Wait, did we have more questions?
We yes. do. We have audience questions. Do you want to read them?
I screened them backstage. There was one that stood out that I can recite from memory.
Okay, you do that,
well,
and then I'll
get five of them. We have right.
I have.
Well,
okay.
She has more.
You just answer. Okay. Don't worry about this part.
No.
What do you think of the latest Calvin Klein ad campaign, and who do you think should be in the next one?
You.
I know.
It came back. It's a full circle. Everything comes. That underwear with the
totally
Calvin Klein.
Totally you.
Someone said this question to us.
Yes. And I was just showing you the ad campaign.
That's amazing. That's such a good question. It is you, Leo. The answer is you.
I will tell you. I'll give you a funny story. Wait, I'll give you. Nothing throws me off. When I was working at Merrill Lynch, Calvin Klein went public. They had their IPO with Merrill Lynch, and they had on the back of the there's like a booklet you get that shows you the IPO, and on the back there's always a big picture of the logo. On their IPO, there was a big picture of a model. Back then, this is in 94-5, something like that. You can Google it. It's real. And I remember some guy, some miserable guy that was in the banking. Is this really something we're taking public to our fans? And underwear, and look at this. I said, is it going to do well? I go, it's going to do well if you're not the model on the back. So there's your Calvin Klein story. Good to be here, folks.
Okay.
No, next question.
Next question. Modi.
Yes.
What's your favorite joke?
My favorite joke?
Yeah, what's your favorite joke?
Oh, if I have to, by the way, recite a joke, what's your favorite joke? Oh, my God. It would be, oh, no.
You can't pick a favorite
joke.
But there are some that you
can
give up.
You have a favorite joke.
Okay, I will tell you my favorite joke. It's a little schmutzig. It's a little dirty. Now, I have a rabbi, Rabbi Gav Bellino, and I have a rebbe, Rabbi Yoichel Gross in Miami from Kerestir. And he gave me two pieces of advice. My rebbe, Rabbi Yoichel, said to me, no nivel peh, don't have a dirty mouth. And then I said, any other information? He leans in and said, always pay your taxes. Those are two. But my favorite joke, I have to be honest. Two gay guys are playing hide and go seek. One says to the other, I'm going to hide. If you find me, I'll give you a blowjob. The other guy says, what if I don't find you? I'll be behind the piano.
I should have asked for a piano on stage.
You see, he's the funny one. He's the funny one. Okay, what else do we have?
That would be at least 150 more emails.
What's the other questions?
What's your favorite Yiddish word?
Oh, my favorite, I don't have a word. I have an expression that I love. I love, 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 love. It's shoin gedavent, which means already prayed. Or we already gedavent. We already prayed. It's like usually when somebody asks you, did you daven mincha? Did you pray the mincha? I say, shoin gedavent. I already prayed. But you use it for everything. Like, we did the Q&A. We did the, okay, go home, shoin gedavent. We're done. And I will tell you why this is my favorite expression in the world. You might not know why this is my favorite expression in the world. One time, we did a show for an organization called Ohel. You heard of it? Amazing work. They help people, Mashiach energy. And it was a big, big event. It was over 1,000 people at the Marriott. And they did it. They were smart. they had, instead of the honorees coming up, I went to the honorees at their tables. It was an amazing event. The videos were great. It would boom, boom, it moved. It wasn't boring. And we're done. Now we're done with the evening. Chuck Schumer came. A whole bunch of people. It was a big night. And then we're leaving. Now the event's over. Leo's goal is to get me out of there into the car service and home. We walk out. It's very orthodox people, black hats. And we walked out the wrong door and walked right into Myriv, the evening service. So now we're in a sea of men in black suits, black hats. And someone turned to us and goes, Myriv? And Leo says, Shoin Gadavit. And walked right out. Did you know that? That's a true story.
A true story.
No, I love these questions. What's the other ones?
Do you have any rituals?
Get paid before you get on stage. That is such a ritual. Get paid before you go on stage. I always say.
That's not a ritual. That's just
showbiz,
baby.
Showbiz. I say Ana Bekoach. It's a Kabbalistic prayer I say to really solidify that I want to make the audience happy, and whoever in the audience needs that laugh, may they get it, and to get back from them too. You know. By the way, when you see an event like this, do you know who's having the most fun here tonight? Me. When I'm on stage and there's 2,000 people, I'm having more fun than anybody. It's almost selfish. So I try to make sure that the reason I'm doing this is not from an ego point of view, but from a sharing point of view. So I say this prayer, Ana Bekoach, and it's become a ritual of mine for a few years now.
Okay.
Good.
Good?
Yes.
Good?
I'm sitting here, but I don't have my glass. I can't read a word that's happening over here. No.
What's a book or something that you would recommend to everyone?
For sure. I saw this question come through the emails. I think everybody in the world should read and make their kids read. It should be in every school. A book called Power of Intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer. It's one of the most powerful books. And you can see how Torah fits into it, and you can see how it is such a powerful book that changed my life. And I think everybody should have this privilege to read this book by Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Early in our relationship, you turned to me and said, if we're going to be together, you have to read this book.
Right.
I read it very fast.
And said,
That's not true.
I'm kidding.
I read the next books.
That's it. Yeah, it was amazing. Yes, very important book.
Have it on my desk
right now.
I haven't read it yet.
No.
But I'm going to. I have that and then the book that Arthur told me to read.
Arthur's office is huge, and he has boxes of books. Every book he ever fell in love with, he has boxes of them to give to people. It's literally like a...
Five people you meet in heaven. That's what he told us. I just ordered it. You didn't give me one. I don't know where you are. I didn't get one. I bought one myself.
Okay,
last question. And we've been very lucky on this podcast to have so many incredible guests.
Oh,
and
yes.
But one question that we get all the time is, who is Modi's dream guest? Like, who would you, is there somebody in the world today?
I never am able to answer this question, but lately I'm going to tell you who my dream guest is. There is a hostage in Gaza.
I think we have a picture of him.
I don't know. There are many hostages, and this one face, wherever I go, for some reason, I see this on the wall. By our house, it was on for a long time, and then they painted over the wall it was on, and I said, oh, wow, I'm not going to see his face anymore. And then I was invited to the mayor's house for the candle lighting, and his family was there with a big poster of him.
Omer Shem Tov.
Not only that, he is a spitting image of my closest friend's son. I see him, I see her son, if I had any wish right now, is that he'd be sitting right here instead of where he's sitting. On that note, I'll tell you that I wish every one of the hostages was sitting in this room with us. as much fun as we have, and as much fun as
move the next picture.
All of them. It's as much fun as we have, and as much fun as on the road. I always this is in the back of our heads, and I've been ending all my shows since the war began by singing HaTikvah, and I think we're at the end here, and I'm going to ask you all to please rise. And this is how we'll end. Put some house lights on. And again, I thank you all for coming tonight. Give yourselves a round of applause. Join me in singing HaTikvah whenever you're ready in the sound booth. Thank you all very, very much for coming out tonight. Thank you.